Alderman, who is excused, sitting back here this evening. Also missing Supervisor Board President. Approval of the minutes from the previous meeting. I'd like to make a comment on the minutes. And looking at these, very well done, very complete. Most pleased at the way these are documented and set forward. Probably part of it is we have a recording device that helps out with that quite a little bit. But still, your efforts aren't not without being noticed. We appreciate it. Another comment is we have two new youth and governance members right here. So I'd like to take some time just to go around the table, and although there was some informal discussion before, have each person introduce themselves, their title, make a brief description of the youth and the county. We'll finish up with the two youth and governance. Then if you have anything you want to say, Mike, you can take a moment or two. So my name is Bill O'Grady. I'm a county supervisor for the 1st District of Kenosha. That's the area where you live, Jacob. And I serve on this committee as well as the county board.
Hi, I'm Captain Adam McCarty from the Kenosha Police Department. I've been on the County Traffic Commission for the last couple of years, and I think I'm here to be approved to stay on. So, story of my career, I'm kind of lost. I don't. But happy to be here. I wish I had youth. That was maybe like 35 years ago, you know? Don't let this happen to you.
He's the only one with a gun, so he just.
But happy to be here, nonetheless.
Well, he was stuck in traffic.
Yeah, right. I'm Mike Trant. I'm the facilities manager.
John Rudy, general manager of parks.
Wendy Epping, public works assistant.
Gary Sipsma, the county highway commissioner.
Joe Cardamone, first assistant corporation counsel.
I'm Dan Dry. I'm the general manager of the golf courses, Petrifying Springs and Brightondale Links.
Jim Kupfer, and I'm the CFO for public works.
I'm Chris Mason. I'm director of public works and development services. Normally I just get to be quiet, but I am here on behalf of Frank Martinelli, who is our project engineer and is on vacation, so I get to take his place today.
I'm Jacob Kibier, youth and governance. Rose Frost as well.
Mike Solitsky, I'm the county board supervisor of District 19, and this building's in District 19, so it gives you an idea. And also, we're all important.
John Poole, County Board Supervisor for District 20, which is Paddock Lake in Northern Salem. I'm an accountant by training and elected in this office.
Do you have any comments about youth and governance as it pertains to this committee?
Yeah. You know, I'm very excited to have our two new youth here. I encourage them to ask questions as they come up with is germane to the topic of discussion. And I appreciate everybody's efforts here in trying to enlighten them how county government works, what your role is, how they fit in, and how the whole network of interactions take place. Very excited to have these two gentlemen and looking forward to their participation. And I encourage you to do so, okay? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Let's discuss some other protocol. I've been in committees and I've seen this done a couple different ways. We had done it one time earlier on with youth and governance where their vote came after the committee vote. And then we've done it most recently in finance administration where youth and governance occurred right at the same time simultaneously. Often it's voice vote, sometimes it's real help. Any preference or thoughts or that from you, Mike?
First? Yeah.
After.
It works very well. Youth and governance vote first. Because we found, at least on my other committee where we have, they're not influenced perhaps by what the supervisors are going to vote. So I prefer that.
Okay, so vote first. And I have no issue with that. We can wait until Supervisor Ogilvie comes back. If he has comments upon that, but certainly sounds fair from his standpoint. Any other committee member, supervisor, youth and government comments at this point? Going once, going twice, moving on. Citizens' comments. Any citizen in the room would like to comment or address this committee? I don't see any citizens other than us right here, so that's closed. New business. Number 6, resolution to approve the appointment of Captain Edo McCarty to serve the Kenosha County Traffic Safety Commission. Who's handling that? Gary.
Yeah, the resolution is an appointment by the county executive for Captain McCarty to be a member of the Kenosha County Traffic Safety Commission. Also a member of the Traffic Safety Commission, and Captain McCarty's actually served
couple of years.
A couple of years now without, I guess you replaced previous...
I think Bartholomew.
Yeah. And a previous member of the city police. And so I'm quite familiar with Captain McCary, and I can vouch that he is more than willing participant on the committee. So it's good to get input from the city. A lot of the incidents that we review on the Traffic Safety Commission occur within the city limits, and even those incidents outside of the city, it's always good to get a member of law enforcement's perspective. So I certainly recommend approval, and Captain McCary, can maybe just tell a little bit about yourself to the committee.
Sure. I've been with the City Police Department a little over 30 years. I've been back on the day shift the last couple of years. Actually, when I was on second shift is when the chief had me start work on the committee. Great job. Very interesting. I enjoy being on the committee. It's got a good diversity of people on there, and I think some good things come from it. So looking forward to being on it a couple more years before I finally pull a pin and retire.
And you said how long you've been on this position before you've done this previously?
I've been on it, about 2 years, I think. Yeah.
I entertain a motion to approve.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously.
Here, hold on. Thank you, sir.
You can see it.
Yes. Okay. You approve last set of minutes.
Oh, that's right.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve the minutes of our last meeting.
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Next on the docket is resolution to approve appointment of Attorney David P. Willett to the Kenosha County Traffic Safety Commission.
Yeah, this actually is a reappointment of Attorney Wilk. He's been through this process previously. He's been on also a member of the Traffic Safety Commission for an extended period of time because he's been to this committee before, and this is a reappointment. We didn't ask him to appear personally here, but I certainly can vouch for his participation on the committee. And again, it's just nice to get a diversified opinion about the incidents and any of the traffic safety related issues that we discuss at the committee level. And I certainly would recommend the reappointment of Attorney Wilk to the committee.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve David P. Wilk to the Kenosha County Traffic Safety Commission. All those in favor?
I have a quick question, Mr. Chairman. Yeah. Gary, I haven't been at one of the meetings, and maybe I should, but I've got other things. In general, can you kind of boil down what does the committee do? Did you just take a look at, in general, traffic safety, or...?
Yeah, it's a group made up of both citizen members and law enforcement, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, the county, and we review all of the more serious incidents, like the failed traffic reports. We review all of those. And then basically, I mean, it's an open meeting to the public. Anyone from the public can come and bring issues. And typically, we have such broad representation that everybody on the committee has individual issues that are either discussed and recommendations made to resolve some of the problems related to traffic safety, or else people, members go back to where they're respected, like the DOT will go back and research problems. A lot of having to do with crashes, speed limits, stop signs, operations, that type of thing. It's pretty wide ranging, and recommendations are made. There's no just hard decisions made at that point at the committee level, but it's more of a recommendations.
Okay, thank you.
Further discussion or questions?
I got a question for you also. Living in Paddock Lake, it seems like on the weekends there's a lot of accidents on Route 50. Can you tell us what the main cause of those accidents is or what you found?
It's mostly related to just the high volume of traffic in an area that has a lot of access points, and that's something that the Department of Transportation is fully aware of, and in fact there is a project to reconstruct that entire segment of Highway 50 through Paddock Lake, at which point they're going to take a look at all of the access and try to control it in a way that would help eliminate those crashes. Between that, those access points, just they cause all kinds of difficulties. So, you know, for people pulling in and out and delays, there will be ample opportunity at public informational meetings for everyone to provide input to that project. It's at very early stage where there's not public informational meetings scheduled yet, but there will at some point, and that would be a great opportunity for you and any of the businesses or any of the public to provide input.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Further questions, comments? On the motion then, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. One remaining item, review and approve administrative proposal for Kenosha Highway County Highway Vehicle to be given to Kenosha County Hazmat Team. Who is handling this?
I'll get started with it anyways. I would think about 3 years ago, the emergency government and the there's an association made up of all of the local fire departments and emergency services asked the county if we had any old dump trucks available that we would be able to donate to the cause of emergency government. That was about 3 years ago. We were kind of waited for an opportunity to present itself, and recently that opportunity did present itself, where we were had an option of trading in an old truck on a new truck, and the trade-in value was about $7,000 on the old truck, but the bids for the new truck came in low enough where our budget could cover the entire cost without the trade-in value. So that doesn't happen often. It just happened this particular time, so we thought it would be a good opportunity to help out the emergency government and the emergency services and allow them to transfer ownership of that old dump truck to them rather than trading it in. And that's the request that we're making tonight.
Discussions or questions on this motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
It's perplexing. I was just trying to figure out, why do they want a dump truck? Or is it, are they going to strip the box and use the chassis?
It's going to be modified for their use, and I think it's kind of a versatility type thing, what for hauling materials that they tend to need during emergency events, whether it's flooding or anything like that. And then also, there's some other uses they didn't really come forth with, but they're going to modify it for some emergency services purposes.
But
they didn't explain the whole in detail. But it was a type of versatility thing.
Got enough life left in it that it would be roadworthy?
It would be roadworthy for their uses, okay. Yes. Yeah.
It's tired for us, though.
Tired for us, okay. Yes.
And Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure, but in the attachment, it refers to it in, hang on a second, let me see, page 327B, the Finance Committee, it does not talk about Public Works Committee, and I'm just wondering if that's, if we first take it, then off to the Finance Committee it goes?
I think according to the county policy, this just needs to be approved by the Finance Committee, but we didn't. We just thought, as a matter of protocol, we'd bring it here first just to make sure that you knew about it before we took it to Finance
Committee. Which is advisable. It's a good plan because oftentimes they'll come back and they'll say, well, has this gone through your committee? Are you familiar with it? And we have to have at least some conversation, so I think it's a wise policy. Further comments, Supervisor Swirsky?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Just a matter of information. We donate a vehicle. Do we have any paperwork or hold harmless? You know, say we deliver it, they're driving it, heaven forbid the brakes go out, cause some bodily injury, whatever. Do we have any hold harmless agreements or anything in terms of us as an entity?
We basically transfer the title just like you would transfer a title of a car, and that other than that, I have no knowledge of the liability aspect of it. I don't know.
I would, without looking at it closely, I couldn't say definitively, but I would think that, as Gary was saying, like any other transfer of vehicle, it would essentially be an as-is donation that's accepted, warts and all. I don't believe there'd be any liability on the captain's part.
Comment, Supervisor Poole.
Who is the new owner then, specifically the legal owner that would buy the tags and everything?
There's an association made up of the various fire departments, and that, I forget the exact wording, the name of the association, but that association would actually become the owner.
Okay, so that's a legal entity.
It is a legal entity, yes.
I would entertain a motion to approve at this point.
Motion to approve.
By Poole.
Second.
Well, let's take roll call on this. Nobody has any objections. That would be Youth and Governance. Jacob, either yay or nay to approve or to disapprove.
Yay.
Yay.
Yes.
Solitsky.
Cool. Yes.
Yes. Grady, yes. Unanimous. Thank you.
I'm not sure. Do we get any tax benefit for donating? Okay. Didn't know.
Nope.
Have you read your report for us, Gary?
Just a few items. Highway C&H intersection in Pleasant Prairie is going to be closed beginning June 16th for reconstruction. It'll be closed until approximately Labor Day. Fairly disruptive due to the high traffic volumes using that intersection, but that's why it's getting rebuilt to accommodate those high volumes of traffic. Next week, Thursday, late afternoon and evening, there's a public informational meeting about the County Trunk Highway E Pike River Bridge reconstruction project. It'll take place at the Summers Town Hall, and that's a bridge reconstruction project that'll take place in 2016. It's a couple of years off, but we're at the point in the design where we need to have any public input, if any, as part of the design process.
What is the time date of that one?
It's next Thursday, and if the 12th, and it's from 4:30 till 6:30, I believe. And if I'm wrong, I will email you. But
Summers Town Hall.
Summers Town Hall, right. Last meeting, I talked a little bit about the possibility of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation modifying the urban mowing policy that they have modified it, and that has been approved. So we actually went out today and started mowing medians out on 31 and on Highway 50. So we wasted no time taking advantage of the new policy that allows us to mow medians 9 times a year versus once a year. So that's a good thing. Project we're working on, actually getting wrapped up right now, is the reconstruction of and conversion of the Hill Road in Touchfine Springs Park. That was an old road, and now it is going to be a new path for non-motorized vehicles, or probably for the most part pedestrian use. We have the asphalt done. We have the pretty extensive drainage facilities installed to prevent some flooding that was occurring adjacent to the golf course. And that is, based on recent rain events, it's working really well, so happy with that. It needs landscaping. There's some striping that needs to be done on the path and some signing, but the biggest part left is the landscaping. We just had some setbacks with the rain, but that should be done within the next couple weeks. That project, it's probably... Our budget was $150,000 to complete that. It's going to come in really close, maybe a little bit over. But that is in lieu of reconstructing the roadway, which had a cost estimate of $750,000. So once again, just incredible the amount of people that are on there. You can't keep people off of it. Even while we're out there working with our heavy equipment and trenching and tearing things up, you can't stop the people. It's just amazing how popular this has been, and I would think it's going to be even more so once we get it 100% completed. And that's all I had.
Questions for assistance before we move on? Just a comment, I was out there this past Wednesday, and indeed, barriers were up, greetings not done, but there are people riding their bikes up and down, and smiles on their faces, walking, and very well received. I think it's appropriate for members of the community to know, youth and governance, that originally $750,000 to rebuild that two-lane road so vehicular traffic could go upon it. That's $750,000, a lot of money. A lot of it comes from outside engineering, it's very costly, and to build it to vehicular standards is a whole different set of guidelines. So by doing it in-house, if I'm not mistaken, engineering, construction, you have to purchase the material, which is the asphalt, grading, the whole thing done in-house, your cost is under $50,000. I mean, that is a win-win situation. Speak to the leadership of the department, to our county executive as well, for carrying this through. So.
On that, I have not been out there. I was wondering, did you narrow it a little bit or same width?
It's, for the most part, the path is 10 feet wide, which is our standard width. We did widen it a little bit on the very steepest part of the hill because we're going to make a designated lane for bikes when they're going downhill. We want them to stay in a certain area and not interfere with walkers, and we don't want conflicts and people getting upset. So we're it's 14 feet wide on the steep part of the hill. The balance of it's 10 feet wide. Had the road been put in, it would have had to have been put in at 30 feet wide with curb and gutter. And of course, as Supervisor Grady said, it's a much higher standard of construction.
Thank you.
Thank you for your report. Shall we move on now to Parks, Old Business, point number 8, KD Master Park Plan?
I don't have anything to report on that at this time.
New Business, item number 8A, review and approve WWTP 2013 annual compliance maintenance report.
This is an annual report for the small wastewater treatment plant that the county operates up at Brightdale Golf Course. This committee is the governing body for that plant, and I'm required to bring this report forward to you for your review and approval of this report every year in order to be able to submit this report back to the DNR. And I have a full copy of it here. I think you guys got the full copy electronically because it's 23 pages. Okay. But I guess it goes through everything from who the operators are and their experience and whether or not we had any violations for the year and the general overall maintenance of the plant and the operation of it. And the most important thing, I guess, to see when it's all done would be the very last page, which is what they call a summary. And it reads just like a report card from school. And you can see that in every section, we received an A. And it's as good as it gets. So kudos to the operator of Brightdale, Rich Heinrich, who does an excellent job up there, and Dan for supporting that and helping along with that. So what's required this time is just a vote to accept this report.
Questions or comments from the committee at this point? Entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Just a question before I move on. Dan, isn't that where you've had to have a sample taken down periodically and analyzed for?
Three times a week.
Okay.
And, that's in the winter. Not right now. It's every day of the week.
It is every day. And what's the protocol for the sample transfer? How does that occur? Where does it go? It goes to Burlington?
Goes to Burlington, yeah.
Okay. So that's something we have to run out there and mm-hmm. add to now.
Yep.
Okay. So that's not changed from past years. It's still the same
right.
protocol.
But just on that note, there will be some upgrades that are needed at that plant.
Okay.
So.
Very well. Resolution to approve County Parks Mountain Bike Trail Construction and Maintenance.
What we're asking for here is we have an organized group of volunteers who call themselves CORBA. They're the Kenosha Off-Road Bicycling Association. They are organized and volunteering to build 10 miles of mountain bike trails in Silver Lake Park. They they did do a little bit of fundraising and come up with some money that they wish to donate to Kenosha County to put into an account to be used for maintenance and construction of mountain bike trails. I know there's a budget modification attached to this that says that administration be allowed to modify the budget should it exceed the budgeted amount in any year, and also that any surplus funds can be carried over. And we're only asking for a maximum of $5,000 in that account right now.
Had you had conversations with them prior to this, and you did, 2014 contact, or is this the first with them?
No, I've been talking with them for close to a year.
Okay.
And they requested this. I think we've been talking about for 2 or 3 months, Jim, about doing this.
Yeah, it's just in order to accept money, the draw. You have to have you guys approve it and the finance committee approve it, and then we can't spend more than what donated.
Do we have much of a demand in our county parks for off-road bicycling per se, or is that all individual based upon the park? Do we have what type of plan we have in place for this?
Yeah. Do we have specific what?
Do we have specific plans for how off-road bikes will be accommodated in each park?
Yes.
Seeing no other questions, comments, Supervisor Skolitsky.
Is the intent, John, that you'll be able to spend up to the $5,000 on maintenance, and then when that's gone, then it'll be either more fundraising or another
right. Well, I can't
budget over. Modification. Or I'm just trying to get a sense of how far do you think $5,000 will go?
Well, the reason I'm doing that is because their fundraisers generally raise around $1,000 or $1,200. And I don't think we're going to go, what they're going to donate is going to go beyond that $5,000 range. So I can probably explain that more, why we put that dollar amount in there. But we can't overspend it either. So if there's only $1,200 in there, I can't spend $1,300. So, and it'll be just for signage and, you know, probably culverts and just small things like that. Which the signage won't be small because it's going to require a lot of signs on 10 miles a mountain bike travel.
So of this, and it's okay when you guys, so of the 5,000, Corba had created 1,000 of it, or all 5,000?
They haven't given us anything yet. We don't really, for the rest of this year, we don't think we'll get more than 5,000. If we got $4,500 from them, we could spend up to $4,500. If we got $5,001 from them, we could spend up to $5,001 because this gives us the ability to change that budget. But we can't spend, it just works just like the dog parks. Dog parks, we can't spend more than what's donated. And then we'll do a budget for this in 2015, and I don't know what that amount will be. This is just to get us through this year, and we don't think that we'll end up with more than $5,000 from them this year.
So for this amount that we're starting with, it's just kind of a reallocation of existing budgeted monies for parks in general?
So what it is, there's a $5,000 revenue and a $5,000 in expense. They're both new.
Okay.
They're both new. But you can't spend anything unless you take something in.
Okay. Yeah. Specifically for the mountain bike.
Only for mountain biking.
And not just limited to Silver Lake Park, wherever you've got them.
Right.
Well, okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Which brings up another point. I've had a couple people mention it out in the past. Both off-road bikers and runners, that they see a certain degradation in the environment where people build temporary bridges or mats across the creek, and it kind of creates a mess. At this point, would you think that with this type of funding, there'd be a way to, at community cross points, put in some type of little wooden crossing across the creek there at Pets, or what's your impression on that?
We would, but there are no mountain bike trails at Pets at this point.
Okay.
There never have been any. Folks ride their bikes there, and we look the other way. Our plans are, since we were approached with Silver Lake first,
sure,
we're going to finish Silver Lake and then move to Pets and actually design sustainable mountain bike trails there. And then this money would also go, if there's monies there, to build bridges that hopefully we would reduce some of the liability from the homemade structures that they're building right now.
And impeding the flow of the water as well.
Yeah.
I think that wraps it up. Motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Been approved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Passage unanimously. Thank you, John. Do you have a report for us?
Oh, yes.
I'll take this up when you talk out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
See you next week.
Yeah.
When we say sustainable, we're building them a little bit different than some of the mountain bike riders like. There's just a certain percentage of incline on them so that they don't wash out in the way they're built.
Yeah.
So I'm not foreseeing that, but on the other side of that, this group is also committed to maintaining them.
Yeah, right.
So that it's, this is, you know, part of the whole thing here is that they're not adding work to the park staff when they're building these and maintaining them. So, and they're just single track. So okay. I mean, it's one bike wide.
So is this gravel or dirt?
Pardon?
Gravel or dirt or what's it
called? Whatever the material is there. If it's clay, whatever, just bench cut it and level it out and compact it. And then that just stays. There may be a few spots where we'll have to put a culvert with some stone or something over it, but basically just what's there. We don't haul, they don't haul something different in to put on it.
Do you have a further report for us?
Yes. I have nothing to report from the Pringle Nature Center. Out at KD Park, you know, we were approached about a grant to remove Phragmites by Living Lands and Waters, and they went ahead and had a contractor come in and give us an estimate, and that came in at $134,000, which their budget couldn't cover. So they, after myself and Dan Treelor met with the gentleman from there, we discussed the possibility of just removing the Phragmites around the lake, which is still a pretty large project out there. And they felt that that would be, they would be able to do that within their budget, and are asking a few other local contractors from the area that do that sort of work to give them estimates. And I'm fairly confident that they'll find somebody local that'll be able to do it at a much cheaper rate. I have a project list here. We were scheduled to start the Kemper Center parking lot reconstruction, the 66th Street renovation and lighting, and the pier removal. We hit a little snag with one permit, so that that construction is delayed a little bit here. We're working on that right now to get that moving, because we're operating, we're trying to do this during June and July, which is typically Kemper's slowest part of the year. The Bragdale lift station replacement, again, those bids will go out in August to do that. The Kemper pier removal I touched on. The re-roof at Fox River Storage Building, those bid specs I should have here probably by the end of June, and I'll be turning those over to purchasing to go ahead and put that out to bid. The Emerald Ash Bore tree removal, the consultant was not able to get any loggers coordinated to start the removal and missed their window of opportunity for you can transport logs out of Kenosha County. So we're looking at now just getting going and hopefully having a bid document out and back and signed and a logger in place by November. The training burns of the two houses at Petfrank Springs Park, we burnt the Thompson house, I believe it was May 17th, and we scheduled to burn the Old Park residence this coming Saturday, June 7th at 9 a.m. in the morning. And then Gary's crew, once both houses are burned, he'll send the crews there over to bust up the concrete, and then we'll cave them in and fill them and re-landscape it back in the parkland. No progress on the Silver Lake Disc Golf Course. We do have the baskets. We've got a couple large dead oak trees standing out in it that we want to get down before we get too much further, but that's just the first 9 holes. We haven't started the second 9. And again, the Silver Lake Mountain Bike Trail, starting June 21st, they're going to work for the whole week, and I believe they've got 10 volunteers, and we're also coordinating an at-risk youth group. We get the at-risk youth every summer. We have one crew dedicated just to working on those trails, cutting brush and raking and just doing.
At which location?
Mm-hmm.
Which location?
Silver Lake.
Silver Lake.
Mm-hmm. Ho-Chunk property over on Highway A, I still have not received the draft lease from the nation. We're still waiting on that. The old Bristol Town Hall, I had a request about if they would be able to build a gravel parking lot in between the building and the road on Highway C, if everyone knows where that is. It sits right up on top of the hill north of Bristol Woods County Park, the old Bristol Town Hall. And we did some measuring there, and that's really, it's on the top of a hill. It's a bad spot to back in and out of. And with the right-of-way, there's really almost just room for a car to park there. So I just told them I didn't think that was going to work out for us. I did submit a parkland development grant for some basic infrastructure, which would be roads, parking lots, a boat launch, and some diving platforms, and a handicap fishing pier in Katy Park. I should hear something back around the end of July. Memorial Day weekend, I guess I thought we were going to be a lot busier than we were. We were busy, but it wasn't one of our better Memorial Day weekends. I don't know why it was off like that. I think we had pretty good weather and everything. And just one other thing I wanted to bring up was Eagle Scout projects that I have right now assigned or in progress. And we have a small shade shelter in the Warren Close Dog Park out by Twin Lakes. That's almost complete. It's probably 95%. We got another project that should be starting anytime. It's a stage by the amphitheater out at the Pringle Nature Center. Boardwalk by the Amferro Ponds in Bristol Woods, again in conjunction with the Pringle Nature Center. To build a new display for the educational animals and birds in the Pringle Nature Center, a Native American interpretive trail in Silver Lake Park, a permanent bench on the new Silver Lake Ice House Trail, and a restoration of a trail and stone stairways in Petrifying Springs that was an original WPA project, and that would be directly across the river behind the playground in Area 4. It's just a little curved stone bridge with steps. And our guys rebuilt, one of our guys, part-timers, it's a stonemason, rebuilt the railing. And what this Eagle Scout intends to do is repair the steps and then do some drainage on the trail further down from there. So, and that's about all I have.
Thank you. Questions or comments at this point? Seeing none, move on.
Well, we're happy to announce that Doug Scholsky will be coming to work for us as our new head golf professional, group golf coordinator. Doug comes from the Marriott in Lincolnshire. He is a graduate of the Golf Academy of America, and he is working toward PGA membership. Doug also worked with us in 2011 and 12 as an assistant golf professional. So he's a local guy. He's was a supervisor at Snap-on in the past, and is now into the golf industry. So we're really happy about having Doug on board. The golf courses are getting outstanding reviews. Everybody is really appreciating the conditions that we are offering out there, so that's good to hear. The slow start due to the weather, cold and rain, is putting a little damper on things. We are, you know, about even in rounds with last year. We are still working on controlling our expenses and payroll. We had an outstanding Memorial Day weekend. Even this last Saturday was very good. We are ahead of pace on food and beverage, merchandise, rain sales, so all of that is real good. We had our spring scramble Saturday, May 3rd. We had 44 players in that, and then on the 10th, we hosted the Ladies Spring Fling and the Nike Demo Day. It was a great day that day. The Nike Demo Day alone generated almost $4,000 in club sales. We had a Tour Edge Demo day last Saturday wasn't nearly as successful, but we are looking forward to Adams Golf coming out this Saturday, and then we'll have another one for Nike next Saturday, the 14th, the following Saturday, the 14th. So hopefully, our demo days are generating some good sales. The calendar of events is updated on our website, so you can go there and see what we have coming up. We're doing email blasts to 12,300 people weekly. I hope you guys are getting them and are seeing what we're up to. The next big initiative is the junior golf program. We're anticipating over 100 kids again coming out and enjoying that, anywhere from 8 to about 16 years old. These will be Wednesdays in the morning at Brightondale and Wednesday and Thursday evenings at Petrifying Springs. So another thing that we're involved with is the PGA Junior League. We split a team with Delbrook last year in Delavan, but we have enough juniors signed up this year to have our own team. So and we did win last year, so hopefully we'll have another successful year this year. And we did get an opinion back from corporate counsel about alcohol sales, and we are not able to go to an independent contractor and do any outside sales for outings or that type of thing. That was reported to us that was just trying to circumvent the county or the state laws that counties cannot sell alcohol. So, without that, that's pretty much a dead issue, I guess. We're still looking into any other possibilities that we can find, but alcohol sales does not appear to be something that we're allowed to do at the county golf courses. That was through the corporate counsel that they came up with that opinion, that they've cited several rulings that you can't have an outside vendor come in and sell alcohol. That just, you're trying to circumvent the rules by doing something like
our
that.
Our corporate counsel.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. And
we're
then
beer there and all that.
Yeah, beer we are, but we can't sell hard alcohol. Projects we're working on, the last two holes of the fairway irrigation is done on the White Birch, so the White Birch is completely done with all the irrigation. We will be completing the cart paths pavings as soon as it dries out there. I think May 11th we had 5 inches of rain at Brightondale. It was a Monday night, and then last week we had 4.2 inches over a two-day span. So it's just so wet, we just can't get the crew out there to do the paving. But Gary informed me that as soon as we're ready and it dries out, that they're ready to go. We have purchased the 65 new golf cars. We traded in 57. We have 4 new beverage carts rolling, so that all has gone well. All of our purchases of the equipment has been delivered, and we're using all of that. And we did a roofing project on a small garage at Petrifying Springs Maintenance Shop, so all of our projects are rolling forward. There is a little bit of delay on the maintenance road that we were going to pave. There was a little bit of cost overrun in other projects, so we're on hold till we see how all the cost comes out to see if we can finish the maintenance road at Petrifying Springs.
So. Just a comment and a couple questions. I don't understand at all how we can go to the RFP stage, go through 2 rounds of RFP, and then come up with a conclusion with the Corporation Council that it's a no-go, it's a non-starter. Now, let me back up. On the latest RFPs we had, neither of them were stellar. They were not, I think, anything we'd want to entertain as a county. I've seen them, and they were rather, shall we say, weak offers. So we may not have pursued them anyway. But how we can go this far down the path and then have a determination this late in the game that it's a non-starter situation, I'd like to have some clarification on.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I misspoke. That we could lease out the whole food and beverage project or operations through an RFP to an outside vendor,
right,
and do the whole thing. We could, but as a county, we cannot go say you're going to have a golf outing for 144 people and go to some outside vendor and say, can you come in just for the day and serve alcohol? That was what the ruling was. So I'm sorry if I misled you.
I was confused as well. I'm like, I wonder who said that, because that wasn't the opinion I'd given.
That's why you guys are here this evening, so you can clarify those things for us.
It was a different angle we were trying to achieve, and it got shot down. But
for the future, I mean, if we get existing RFPs, obviously it's too late for this year, it's not going to happen. But in future seasons, if we get the right proposal, the right package, and all those stars in alignment, we could conceivably have that offered at the county courses, if we offered it as a package, not a
pervasive. It's a full-time thing, yeah, not as a outing.
Because it would require someone who would be capable of getting the appropriate municipal alcohol sales license for that location.
Right. And as was constructed this time, if I'm not mistaken, it was basically a pretty open request for proposal. They could do any particular problem that they wanted, whether it's entire food service, just beer and wine, the entire thing, including alcohol. So we'll need to follow up on that. Let's go back to the golf carts for a second now. Originally, we got the fleet. How old is the fleet now?
Originally, we got the fleet in 2010, so we ran it for four seasons.
Right. So what you're doing is you're swapping some of the other ones out for newer models, farming those out, getting new ones in.
Mm-hmm.
Paving project you alluded to at Brightdale. Irrigation was talked about last month. I think that's about it for myself. Questions or comments from the committee?
Mr. Chairman, Dan, because I'm trying to go off my memory. How much of the blue is supposed to be the left in car path? Is it old sections or smaller? I mean, it's in pieces, because I always get my whites and blues mixed up. So
Right offhand, I don't have a total linear footage for you.
That's all right. And so we're going to get it all done once it dries out enough to get equipment out there.
On the blue course, yep.
Is the life cycle of these newer carts any better than, or is it about 4 years more than you expect?
Yeah, at a municipal facility, especially with the gravel cart pass, hopefully with the new cart pass, maybe they can last a little bit longer. But, the most you're going to get out of a golf cart, or what there's recommended is 5 years, okay? But we didn't have the money to do it all in 1 year, so we spread it out over 3 years. We're going to do it 4, 5, and 6.
Okay.
So
it's just kind of rolling, refreshing as you go.
Mm-hmm.
And, Jim, did we get the audit?
No, but I don't expect any changes from what I reported before.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. That concludes the director's report for golf. Let's move on to facilities. Old business, update 60 street power replacements.
Mr. Chairman, I have good news about the 60th Street Tower. I received after Friday, after I submitted the status report, the Sheriff's Department has received all six licenses that they need for all the different frequencies. So we can move ahead with moving the stuff over. We have a communications meeting that is set between Joint Services, the county, Kenosha, City of Kenosha, and facilities, and our radio people and IT that all meet as part of this committee. It is set for June 20th. We intend to begin the carryover of the equipment and hookup of the new stuff the week of July 14th, which is just kind of due to the holidays and that kind of stuff. That's the best we can get everybody together, the bulk of the team. So July 14th is now our new date. Sorry, Dennis is not here. The KCDC HVAC controls, not much change. We have 10 out of 14 of the control units in and 26 of the 42 VAV boxes. The Yule House, the inspection of the property actually was scheduled for this week, tomorrow, I got an email from Carol O'Neill. She misinformed me. It's actually going to be tomorrow. So they're going to be going through that property looking to see if there's any hidden things that could the buyer would be able to back out of. The sale is contingent on the sale of their home in California. And I was told that they had some problems of people viewing that house because it's right where I guess you can smell smoke from the forest fires that are going on out there. So not a lot of people coming to look at it, but have been told that they have tons of showings anticipated soon and expect an offer in the near future. So barring anything that's found over there, that should be moving forward. The K-Cab restoration project, it is still on schedule. The grinding of the old mortar has been actually completed on the north and west sides. So that is stopping the most of the dust that has caused fire alarms to go off over there. Just general mess inside the K-Cab and stuff like that. So we're moving that. You can tell there's a pretty good trench around the south and east sides, and they are starting the waterproofing. Excavation on the north side will begin in about 2 weeks. The north side is where the condenser unit is outside. It's where the fiber optics comes in and where gas, electric, and all sorts of other things come in.
Slash legs that condenser.
So any one of those things, a service interruption, could cause problems to not only KCAB but the courthouse. So we are looking for whatever we can do to make sure that that it happens, no incidences. And the work is still scheduled to be completed October 30th. And that concludes my report.
Thank you for the report. Questions or comments to our Director of Public Works? Seeing none, move on to our next agenda item. New business, resolution to remove the modification of 2014 capital budget regarding the public safety building parking lot gates. We'd like to handle that.
Basically, you have before you a resolution to take the $60,000 that was originally budgeted for the installation of the security gates for the parking lot behind the public safety building, and not basically removing that from the budget so that we do not have to borrow money for that project, since the Joint Services is going to issue stickers and take care of that issue themselves. So that $60,000 that we just want to remove from the budget, and this resolution authorizes that to happen.
Comments or questions?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just want to commend whether it was you, Chris, or anyone else who take the initiative, because this was kind of left out there, and I was hoping we would get around to it so that the data removed it. We had made it public that we wanted to see it done, and I'm glad to see it is. I think it's a much more pragmatic and practical approach that we're taking, and thank you and all your staff for involved with it.
Entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Been approved and seconded. Seeing this does have some budget implications, I prefer to have a roll call vote on this. Youth and Governance. Jacob?
Aye.
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 For myself, Chair votes aye. Just a question on this, Gary. At some point, as Mr. Mason alluded to, it will be probably posted and done by stickers. I think it's going to come between personnel and Joint Services to get those stickers up. Can we get some type of signage when this whole thing is ready to occur that basically advises the public that on this particular date we will have enforcement of this lot, and just something to the fact that the public has put on notice and the terms are spelled out with some kind of signage. Is that something we can do in-house with our sign department?
We have the ability to make any custom sign. We're only limited to the colors that the person would like to see on the sign here. So, yeah, any type of wording. If someone gives it me the wording,
okay,
I can have the sign.
Any time on that, is that a big deal? What's your usual?
Just a few days.
Okay. Is there any signage right there?
I'm not sure. Is there signage over there, Chris?
There is a signage that just says...
From Adelna, isn't it?
Yeah. It just indicates that it's a reserved parking.
Okay.
So it already is signed?
Yes.
It's signed,
yes.
But I think
signed.
The point we're trying to address is we can make it so people have a heads up to start on this date. We'll see this type of consequence. You're going to be ticketed, told, whatever the case may be. Have them enforce themselves rather than us have to.
It's not very strong the word, it just says like reserved parking.
Okay.
It's something that towed it on just well, we can come up with standard language.
Approach that as a time draws near, but that's in the works. I think the next on our list is to have facilities manager report.
Just some updates to some of the projects I reported on last time. Brookside has got three projects. The first one is a sprinkler pipe replacement project that bid has been awarded to United Mechanical for $37,400. They're going to start on the 16th and complete about the 7th of July. There's one week left to do, and we'll probably do that next year. The second one is the hallway can light replacement. That's moving slow. We're trying to find fixtures so we can have competitive bidding. I think we're going to get one as of a meeting tomorrow, so that'll be our second one, and then we'll get things going on that. A new project for Brookside is the cafe renovation. I don't know, are you guys familiar with the Bird Room?
The Bird Room?
Yeah, they call it the Bird Room. It's actually the 600-700 activity room.
Okay.
They've got a temporary cafe in there right now with some folding tables set up where they sell bagels and sandwiches, and anybody who comes in can grab a snack or lunch, and they want to make it more permanent. So they're doing is adding kitchen-type cabinets and countertops and a sink and that kind of thing, coffee pot. And, this is a project that adds all those. The bid went out and was awarded to Wilcom Construction. That's scheduled to start in about 6 weeks. Those countertops are being ordered. So that's Brookside. Public safety building. We have an ongoing sewer pipe replacement project. We're doing that in phases, and the next phase is scheduled to start on 6/14. That'll take about a week, and that'll be complete. And then there's a few phases after that, and we might have to step back and get some new direction and see. But next time we meet, I'll have more information on that. Courthouse, replace the fire alarm system. There's really nothing to update there. We're still waiting for budget quotes. Detention center, we're a big project to replace sliding detention doors. The bid package is put together, so it's ready to roll. We have walkthroughs at the end of the month, beginning of July, and we have some vendors coming in from down south and out east. So. That's a little tricky to schedule them to get in for a walkthrough. So that'll happen at the end of the month, and then we'll get rolling on that. The last thing to report on is the HVAC position. And I'm happy to say that we've hired somebody finally. So he starts the 16th, and we'll get going from there.
Is that full-time?
It is.
Okay. Was the increase in the range or
the wages?
Did it help you?
Yes.
Okay.
It finally got to a point where someone called us actually and said, I have interest.
Great.
Yeah, and that was $26.50 an hour.
Hopefully they stay around for more.
That's going to be the challenge. Just to keep him motivated and not want to go.
Won't be a lack
we've got
of
a lot of different buildings, and yeah. We'll keep them pretty involved. great. So we just got to find a vehicle for him now.
I got a dump truck for you. Cheap.
This is a
well, I used to anyway. So I don't have any more.
You have a slight reassurance.
Film you to win first.
Well, in 2 months, we're going to get one of their cargo vans. Okay. But we got to find something for 2 months. So. Okay. We'll see. Look, guys.
All right. Thank you for your report, Mike. Move on to agenda item number 12 now. And that is resolution to approve intergovernmental agreement with the City of Kenosha Town of Harris for transfer of jurisdiction of the segment of County Highway 10. Who's handling that one for us?
I am. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, let me apologize. When I had provided this last week for inclusion on the agenda, I sent the resolution and apparently neglected to attach the actual IGA. We have copies for you, but really, although it's a 10 or 12 page agreement, there's really only two very minor provisions that impact the county. Number one, well, let me take one step back. I'm sure all the committee has been following the news and is aware of the ongoing discussions and negotiations between primarily the city and the Village of Paris, which are Town of Paris, excuse me, in regards to the annexation of certain properties into the city. We were brought into the process primarily because there is a portion in the proposed annexed land that covers a county trunk highway and would be transferred under this agreement to city jurisdiction from county jurisdiction. That is the first piece of the agreement that involves the county. The second is a promise on the county's part to assist the or cooperate with the city on efforts to obtain funding for improvements on the roadway, but does not in any way, shape, or form involve any cost to the county. It is simply our cooperation and support in the city's efforts to find that funding. As I think Gary would back me up on, anytime we can transfer jurisdiction on the part of the County Trunk Highway system to the city, it's a good thing for the county. It's one less piece of the system that we are responsible for the upkeep and maintenance of. And again, really, although there's a lot of other things in the IGA, those are the two things on pages 4 and 5 that involve county involvement. And I would ask for the committee's approval.
First of all, so motion to approve.
Move to approve.
Second.
We move to second discussion on this particular item. I'll just make a comment. My comment is that this is the area for youth and governance, familiar with it or not. This is up by the Amazon property in the interstate. And it's been a county trunk highway for virtually all of its existence. When it's annexed into the city, it then becomes the responsibility of the city to maintain it. However, before it can be transferred, we have a certain financial obligation or encumbrance to have it built to current standards. Am I correct, Gary? Is that how it works?
In many cases, yes. It's not a requirement, but in many cases,
it was negotiated out. It's
a negotiated item.
So by putting in the infrastructure and building the road to a certain standard, when it comes time to deed it over to the city, it goes off our maintenance burden, goes onto their maintenance burden, and it becomes a more efficient thing for the county to have to not be dealing with. So that's kind of your background. Further comments or discussion between committee members?
As I'm looking at the map then, Gary, it's just a piece of N, or do they take over the whole thing? Just the annex portion, correct?
We have a current agreement for them to take over the section of N between the frontage road and east to Highway S. That's already in place. This would be the section of N from I-94 west to 128th Street. Or 28th Avenue.
And would occur immediately upon the, and automatically upon the annexation of all of the properties in question.
Okay.
As opposed to being some sort of aspirational goal that at some future point we'll discuss getting that taken care of.
So more to the point then, there's no need for us to do any infrastructure remediations, fix-ups, whatever we're done.
Right, yeah, there's two goals here. The short term is that the city needs to extend sewer and water into this annexation area, of which they will be going right down the middle of Highway N. They're going to tear the whole thing out, and we basically are going to be out of the, you know, what remains is not necessarily a pretty sight, and we don't want to be part of the maintenance required of that. And then long-term improvements necessary to construct intersections, wider roadways for trucking, that will all be the responsibility of the city. So,
like the sound of that.
Yes.
As do we.
No problem in maintaining in the transition. As I'm looking, this is quite a patchwork, so I'm just trying to, but essentially, this section, have at it. Okay.
Absolutely.
So without further ado, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Pass unanimously. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye.